May 23rd, 2018, Wildcat Hills, Nebraska to Lander, Wyoming. I had to park in Wildcat Hills with the tail of the car higher than the hood, even though I had set up my car bed to work in the opposite direction. It turned out to function fine both ways, although I had to experiment a bit to figure out how to get in feet first rather than head first. Well, I had checked the weather as I approached Scott's Bluff. Sunny, zero chance of rain. I confirmed that later. Sunny, zero chance of rain. Once I got settled, I looked at the evening weather for the nearest town. Gearing, clear, zero chance of rain. While I was setting up, however, I did notice that the southwestern sky seemed darker and it had the look of a potential storm. I decided that although it reduces airflow in the tents a fair bit, it would be wise to set up the fly, an extra layer of tarp that covers the tent. By the time I finished setting up and having supper and reading a bit, it was past 8:30, but that was mountain time, and I figured that my internal clock still registered 9:30, so I should crawl into bed and maybe go to sleep. I noticed that that southwestern area had begun producing thunder and lightning, and my thoughts turned to the car windows. I had opened them fairly widely since I had bug screens over them, but I thought about closing them maybe just a bit since I was not looking forward to the idea of traveling in a soggy vehicle the next day. Nah, if there's a storm, I'd hear it. But I checked the local nighttime weather anyway, just to be sure. Clear, no chance of rain. Sounds good to me. I clambered myself into my backwards bed and drifted off to a peaceful sleep. In the midst of a particularly serene dream, I was awakened by a blinding flash of lightning all around me and followed by a stupendous, unending roar of thunder, which started at loud and became louder still, shaking the car. Yes, indeed, I should get those windows closed. But they are electric windows. There's no cranks or anything, so you gotta start the car to do this. I awkwardly maneuvered my way backwards out of the car, popped on my shoes. I didn't bother putting on pants. I raced up front to start the car and close the windows. I dashed back into the tent, making a brief pit stop at a tree, and contorted myself back into my cozy little cocoon. At just that moment, a high wind blew through the campground. There was a tremendous burst of lightning and a robust clap of thunder, and the skies opened up with a torrential downpour. I fell back asleep, seeing an image of my phone's weather app. Clear, no chance of rain. Setting up camp the night before had been challenging because of gusty winds that kept blowing the tarp and the tent around. And I remember reading once that it wasn't the long trek that drove the pioneers crazy out here. It was the persistent wind. I got up early, I had some oatmeal and coffee, and I went for a walk. I had planned to get on the road early since it was a long drive from Wildcat Hills in Nebraska to Lander, Wyoming the next day, 5.5 hours. You know, doable, but not much fun. But the rainfly was still wet, and the sun would be out soon, so I made some more coffee, moved my camp chair outside to a comfortable spot, and read for a couple of hours. And everything had mostly dried, so I took my ibuprofen, and I do that because the car is reasonably comfortable, but hours of driving make you stiff and achy, and I prepared to leave. I've gotten pretty fast with taking down the tent and breaking camp and packing up the car, and I now had had some experience and I had worked out a system. Soon after I crossed the state line, I began to notice changes. Although the land was still pretty flat, there were mesas and hillocks here and there, seemingly random, with lines of ridges in the distance in one direction or another. Millions of years ago, a vast sea ran through America from the Rockies to east of the Mississippi, resulting in the striated limestone that you see everywhere. Different eras must have fostered different organisms, so layers are different colors, and there are regional differences. Some are brown, others are red, still others are gray. I try to imagine that I'm driving on the seabed of a large body of water with a few islands peeking above the surface. After a while, things got more hilly and the bluffs were more dramatic, with colorful layers interspersed between yellowish sandstone. When I passed some, I could see that chunks of rock the size of my car had broken off at some point and tumbled to the base. Most warning signs got it right. Watch for fallen rock. Although a few advised keeping an eye out for falling rock, which sounded not only distracting, but likely to make you miss the rock that had already landed on the road. Former copy editors are bothered by this kind of thing. Gullies cut deeply into the matrix of the hills, and there were occasional farms, mostly raising livestock rather than crops, and the structures were mostly low and often a bit ramshackle. As I got further west, I started seeing snow fences set back from the road along the high points, a testament to the blowing snow of winter. It's definitely big sky country, and I like to think of the atmosphere as a very thin liquid, and so what you're seeing is like a gigantic 1960s light show, or maybe a sort of a lava lamp of sorts. It's kind of cool, man. You got to take it seriously, though. Big electronic signs on the road warned of 40-plus mile-per-hour gusts. I passed through Medicine Bow National Forest, with the snowy range mountains in the distance, and then I turned north toward Rawlins, 96 miles away, and finally toward Lander, Wyoming. From 30 miles away, I could see big, dark clouds and a heavy rain right where I was heading, and I decided it was not going to be a good night for camping. A quick internet search led me to the Holiday Lodge, an undistinguished but serviceable place to spend the night and hope for better weather the next day. Next stop, Yellowstone.